Dave and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Halfway through the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Working hard to get Adam Vingan of the Tennessean newspaper on the line to talk about the Predators. An update from the Scottrade Center in St. Louis. Steve Mason taking the early shots generally reserved for the starting goalie. So saith Kenneth Weeb of the Winnipeg Suns.
You mean Kenneth Weebeth?
Kenneth Weebeth, the 30th of the Winnipeg Suns. So we'll see if that manufactures itself into Steve Mason being the starting goaltender for the Jets tonight. But it certainly is looking that way, at least early on, as the Jets are on the ice to meet the St. Louis Blues as part of their game day skate. A game you can, of course, hear live on TSN 1290. Starts shortly after 6 p.m. tonight with puck drop and coverage, including, you know, the afternoon ride, and then the pregame show starts at 3 o'clock.
And Drew, you mentioned it in the first hour, you thought that there was a good chance that Steve Mason was going to start tonight. And you know, guys, it's been quite a while since Mason has started. November 25th,
yeah,
against the San Jose Sharks. That was a road game,
yeah,
if you remember correctly.
A game the Jets lost 4-0.
Pardon me, he actually didn't start that game.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
No, he left. Remember that?
He started that game and then he left.
That was the game he left after.
Right, he started and left.
Yes. So took the shot off the mask. Right, was concussed by it.
Right, and then prior to that, he also played against the Kings on that road trip. So you know, it's been 3 weeks since he's played a game.
Yeah, you know, he was playing better hockey. You know, he obviously had the struggles to start the year. Then he got back into the net periodically, was playing better hockey, and then, of course, he gets the unfortunate concussion. So he's back in the lineup for the Winnipeg Jets, likely to get the start tonight by the sounds of it in St. Louis to play the Blues. A key matchup for the Jets, of course, as they look to get back on the winning track.
Continuing with morning skate notes, it's an optional, according to Ken. It's Tyler Myers, Dmitry Kulikov, Brian Little, Adam Lowry, and Matthew Perreault were not on the ice for the Winnipeg Jets. So Coach Maurice, but that, you know, it, before fans get too nervous, that's something he's been going to this season, is having optional morning skates for the Jets. So not always, but quite often now it seems that the idea of burning your guys out in the morning is occurring less and less with Paul Maurice, mm-hmm. almost in that John Tortorella vein. So that's not something that's overly shocking.
I think it would be a surprise if any of those guys were actually out of the lineup tonight. I mean, that would be unexpected. But
the only guy now who's missed two is Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
And he's missed the last two.
And you mentioned earlier in the program that, I mean, there's no reports of it, but that, you know, perhaps a flu bug going through the team, something along those lines. So it'll be interesting to see if that's maybe rearing its ugly head or not. In any event, the Jets,
they got to drink a lot of water, Drew.
Is that what you do to make yourself feel better?
I think it's always a good
fluids
thing. Yeah,
got to stay
lots
hydrated. Got
to
you know, beer for you, water for others.
Exactly. Whiskey.
Exactly.
Now let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Tennessean newspaper in Nashville, he covers the Nashville Predators as their beat writer. He's a good friend of the program. Adam Vingan joins us now. Adam, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
Adam, how's the weather in Alberta?
Actually, quite pleasant. Not cold at all. I mean, it's brisk, certainly, but it's nothing like what you're seeing in Ottawa right now with these negative degree wind chills. But I was able to walk around the last couple of days in both Edmonton and Calgary without freezing, so that's been pretty good.
Adam, obviously a good road trip for the Predators thus far as they go through Western Canada. They really demolished the Vancouver Canucks a few nights ago with that 7-1 victory. Then they follow that up with a 4-0 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. Is this a Nashville team that's really hitting its stride as we're, you know, now 31 games through the season? This is a team that's beginning to operate as the juggernaut that a lot of people thought they might be this season?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, since November 1st, they've won 15 of 20. I think they've lost three games in regulation since November 1st. So they've very rarely given up points. And, of course, a lot of that, as you're constantly seeing, it has to do with the arrival of Kyle Turris, who is a point-per-game player with the Predators, 16 points in 16 games. But I think the most fascinating thing is that Kyle Turris is actually not the leading scorer for the Predators over that span. I believe it might be Philip Forsberg. And Kyle Turris also isn't alone up there. A lot of players have been producing with high productivity over the past 6 weeks. Kevin Fiala is on a 6-game point streak. Kyle Yarncroke is on a 4-game point streak. Pontus Aberg has 3 points in his last 4 games. Craig Smith has already matched his goal total from last season. Victor Arvidsson continues to play well. It's happening from everywhere. PK Subban had 2 goals against Vancouver, 2 very peculiar goals, including one from center ice. T.S. Ekholm has had 4 points in the last 2 games, I believe. So it's coming from everywhere. And you saw that in the playoffs last year. They had 19 skaters record at least 1 goal, which was near the NHL's postseason record, which is 21, held by the Philadelphia Flyers, I believe, in 1987. So you knew that this team had depth. This team, as currently constructed, is better than the team that was 2 games from winning a Stanley Cup. I don't believe I'm exaggerating when I'm saying that. Of course, you're always concerned as a fan that your team may be, quote-unquote, peaking too early, but this team has shown no signs of slowing down. And it hasn't been perfect, but I think these past 2 games have been eye-opening for me. Of course, you mentioned the 7-1 demolition of the Vancouver Canucks a couple of days ago. Of course, that's impressive. They score a season-high 7 goals and put a season-high 48 shots on net. I look at the game the other day against Edmonton as the more impressive victory. They were being outshot 33-13 after 2 periods. I think it was 22-4 after 1 period, but at the end of the 2nd period, it was 4-0 Nashville. I think a mark of a good team is not only being able to demolish opponents, as the Predators did on Wednesday, but to be able to win a game like they did on Thursday while not playing their best from start to finish. To me, that spoke more volumes about this team than the game against Vancouver.
You know, Adam, you mentioned Kyle Turris in your response, and you know he's obviously been red hot since he came over from the Ottawa Senators. He's got 4 goals, 16 points in 16 games. We know that Kyle Turris has made Nashville stronger up the middle, but in what other areas has Turris made this team better? Is it just he's made this offense more dynamic? How specifically has he made this a much deeper, better team?
Well, I believe he actually leads this team as well in power play points since he came. And this team's power play was already very good, but now they've been made even better by Kyle Turris. And I think there's a trickle-down effect in the lineup. You look at the Predators' lineup over the last 2 games, and you look at how the players are slotted into the lineup. And Scott Hartnell recently came back from injury and was playing top 6 minutes before the injury. He was a fourth line forward the last 2 games. Colton Sissons, who was the de facto number one center in the Stanley Cup final, has been the fourth line center. Nick Bonino, who was the third line center for 2 years in Pittsburgh, was a first line left wing for the last 2 games with Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. This team is more balanced than it ever has been, in my opinion, because of Kyle Turris. I think that is the most important aspect of his acquisition, is that this team now rolls out a lineup that has firepower and defense, offensive and defensive responsibility and speed on each line. For example, a line that's been playing really well that hasn't been getting a lot of the headlines, Philip Forsberg, Kalle Yarncroke, and Pontus Aberg. Now, that line has been playing very well over the last 4 or 5 games since they've been together. And they're able to be together. I mean, Peter Laviolette doesn't like to number his line, so he's not going to call that a third line. But the fact that you have Philip Forsberg technically in a bottom six capacity, if you're just looking at how the lines are ordered, I mean, that Philip Forsberg is a star in the making, and he's playing that kind of role. He's been fabulous all season, and they have the depth that they can put him in a spot that isn't a quote-unquote first-line spot and still be very successful. So I think that is what's most important to what I've been able to see has been the trickle-down effect that Kyle Turris is acquisition has created throughout the forward lineup.
You know, Adam, UC Saros picked up a win against the Dallas Stars a couple weeks or about 10 days ago. Then he was sent down to the Milwaukee Admirals. He played 2 games actually against the Manitoba Moose here in Winnipeg. He looked very good in both those games. And then he gets called up and has that performance in Edmonton where he, I think it was 46 saves in the shutout win. Just how good has he been for Nashville?
Well, to be honest with you, for the first month of the season, he wasn't very good at all. If you're just looking at straight goals against and save percentage. And UC doesn't judge his performances on those numbers. It's more of a feel for him, how he feels in the game. And he hasn't really felt terrible in the game yet, despite, you know, some harsh numbers, even at the AHL level. Wasn't playing particularly well, just based, again, as I said, on the statistical measures. But, you know, played a really good game in Dallas a week and a half ago. Those 43 saves at the time were a career high. Then he outdid himself by having 46 saves against Edmonton, which is not only a franchise record for a shutout, it's also the highest save total in a shutout by an NHL rookie in nearly 32 years. And he's been playing really well his last four starts in the NHL. And that speaks well for him, and it speaks well for Nashville, just because a major reason why Pecorine was as good as he was during the Stanley Cup Final and throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, actually, to be more specific, because he wasn't spectacular in the Stanley Cup Final, was how he was able to be rested during the regular season. He wasn't playing a lot of games that he normally would play with days off in between. And UC Saros is waiver exempt, which allows him, as you mentioned, to go freely between the AHL and NHL. They don't want him sitting on the bench for 3 weeks at a time without playing. So that he gets those weekend starts in the American League, comes back and plays in the NHL. So, you know, he's only 22 years old. Pecorine, if I recall correctly, didn't make his NHL debut until he was about 25 or 26. And the difference is that Pekka was getting significant starting time in Milwaukee of the AHL before he became a starter in Nashville. UC Saros, his professional career, has never been a go-to starter. He's either split time or been up and down. So he hasn't had that same number one role. But this is the way that they want to do it. I asked Pierre Laviolette about it about a week ago, and he said that they have goals and guidelines in mind for UC Saros that help the team in Nashville. So you're not going to see him spend significant time in the AHL, but you're seeing why over the last three, four games that he's played, why he's important to this team. And, you know, Pecorine is expected to start against the Flames tonight in Calgary, but they know that they have a capable backup when Pekka needs rest.
Adam, last time we had you on, that was back in mid-November, we asked you about Ryan Ellis, and he's still recovering from that off-season surgery to repair his knee. Will we see Ryan Ellis by January 1st, or is it still going to be a couple more weeks before we see him back in the Preds lineup?
I personally believe that there is a good chance that you may see him before the end of 2017. And I don't think it's going to be on Tuesday when the Jets and the Predators play, but it could be after Christmas, or it could be right after Christmas, right around the turn of the calendar. But he's on this trip. He's been traveling with them lately. He's been practicing with them and skating with them in the morning. And I wrote my story for the Tennessean today about how good this team has been without him and how good they'll be with him in the lineup. I mean, here's a stat for you. They played 113 regular season games since the start of last season. They've had Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, P.K. Subban, and Mattias Ekholm in the lineup together in 48 of those 113 games.
Wow.
Of course, but then you look at how well this team played when all four of them played in each of the 22 playoff games. I mean, they were a significant reason why this team made it to the Stanley Cup Final and nearly won it. So when you put the team that they have in front of them on the forward ranks with a team that continues to lead the NHL in points from defensemen without a defenseman that had 38 points last season, when they get him back, I mean, it's sort of like a mid-season trade acquisition. They love him. They praise him for being intelligent and smart and reliable. They're going to be even better when they have him back.
Adam, we'll let you go on this last question. You mentioned Ellis coming. His arrival will be like a mid-season trade acquisition. This team is really operating as a juggernaut right now. Where would David Poile, if he was to look at an area that needs upgrading, where would that area be at this point?
That's a good question. They're always looking for scoring. I mean, they have a good defense, so they're always looking. They're always looking for some more, top nine scoring punch. I'm wondering if they look at the third defensive pairing. Alexei Yemelin has done a solid job with PK Subban this season. And presumably when Ryan Ellis comes back, Emelin may shoot down to that third pair. Yannick Weber is a very serviceable number six defenseman, and they already have two others in Matt Irwin and Anthony Pitetto. All of them aren't spectacular, but they are serviceable. I'm wondering if they feel like they may need some depth at the bottom levels of their defensive core.
The rich get richer in Nashville. The Jets into Music City on Tuesday night to face the Predators. Of course, the Predators do battle with the Flames later on this evening. Adam, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again real soon, and happy holidays to you and yours.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Adam. When we come back, we look check in with the latest from the TSN insiders. We're going to talk about Eugene Melnyk shot across the bow of the fans of the Ottawa Senators. Are the Senators a relocation candidate? That's up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the Curve on TSN 1290.
The Legal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the Curve on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Ten minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Caitlin Fighton. She is the Bison women's hockey team captain. The Bison women, the number one ranked team in the country. So we'll talk a little Bison women's hockey coming up at the top of the hour. Pleased to be joined by Caitlin, so you can hang tight for that coming up. The guys from Insider Trading got together for another session. This is what they had to say lately is going on in the NHL.
They are the insiders, Pierre LeBrun and Darren Dreger. Bob McKenzie is covering the World Junior Evaluation Camp in St. Catharines, Ontario. All right, it was a busy, eventful day for the Ottawa Senators in the nation's capital on Wednesday. Things seemed to quiet down on Thursday, but did things just go underground?
Not in the office of Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Ottawa Senators. I'm told that eight different teams reached out to Pierre Dorion on Thursday. And listen, one victory over the New York Rangers isn't going to change the fact that Pierre Dorion is deeply disappointed in how his team and his players have performed this year. So, yes, he continues to try to find a fit to make a deal, but not going to make a deal just to make it before the holiday trade freeze next Tuesday. If it's not there, he's not going to force it. But, yes, he continues to talk.
Well, and speaking of the holiday freeze, it's looking like it is going to be bitterly cold in Ottawa for Saturday's game with the Senators and the Montreal Canadiens outdoors. Now, the forecast is showing minus 18. Nice. And this is a 7 o'clock start, so you know it's going to be really, really chilly, to say the least. The League and the Players Association will consult with the player reps throughout this. Now, they look at all conditions, not just the temperature. I mean, is there a blizzard happening? I mean, what are the other conditions aside from the cold temps? It's highly unlikely that they'd interfere and call it off, but when it's that cold, they have to pay attention.
Let's go from the outdoors to overseas. The NHL went to China and Sweden this season. Could we see that and more next year?
You could see more next year, no question. They're talking about adding an event. And by they, I mean the Players Association and the National Hockey League. In fact, they had yet another conference call today speaking specifically on the international calendar. It'll likely look very similar to this year. So, again, it's assumed that they'll go back to China and they'll go to another European market. But perhaps that added event is a non-traditional, another non-traditional market outside of Europe. So we'll wait and see. There's lots of dialogue happening between the PA and the National Hockey League, and nothing yet finalized.
If you're one of those hockey fans that like to track the stats, no big surprises in the offensive categories right now this season, but a new name, the goaltending categories.
Aaron Dell leading your goals against average and your save percentage. Listen, the guy had a 931 last year as well, but he's only appeared in 11 games as of Thursday morning, so certainly not a starter, but generating some interest, I think, or at least people, taking notice. Could he be this year's Scott Darling, the guy that goes from backup to number one? A year ago, Scott Darling was entering his UFA year, getting a lot of interest. Aaron Dell, also UFA on July 1st. Now, do the Sharks use him as trade bait closer to the February 26th trade deadline, or do they think about re-signing him as a tourist to Martin Jones? We don't know that yet.
Whenever a deal is made in the NHL, we like to track, okay, who was the winner, who was the loser in that deal? And then we say, you know what, let's revisit this a couple of years down the road. Let's revisit the Flyers and Blues deal.
Boy, Braden Schenn absolutely lighting it up for the St. Louis Blues this year, and Jouri Luterra is doing the opposite for the Flyers. Now, remember, Philly got two first-round picks in that deal, which really was of most importance to the Flyers. In the meantime, what do they do with Luterra, who is a scratch again on Thursday, has really struggled this year? What I'm told is the Flyers are willing to listen on him. They're not out there shopping him aggressively, but certainly given their depth up front for the right offer, he's got another year in his deal at $4.7 million. That might scare off some teams. But here's a guy that played with Tarasenko in St. Louis 3 years ago and put up 44 points. Might be a taker.
We need to keep an eye on the Boston Bruins after clear the holiday freeze. Not that that weighs into the decision that Don Sweeney and the Bruins will make on veteran defenseman Zdeno Chara. They'd like to extend Chara. He's a 40-year-old. His contract expires, a 7-year deal, at the end of this season. And Chara wants to continue to play. I mean, he's in great shape. Why wouldn't he want to continue to play? The Bruins' sense is, well, if we extend him in season, it's going to feel like a 2-year deal, so we maybe don't have to give him a 2-year deal in the offseason. If not, they'll go through that negotiation process, but very much want to get a deal done with Chara.
They are the Insiders, Pierre LeBrun and Darren Dreger. This is Insider Trading.
That's the latest Insider Trading from the TSN Hockey Insiders.
I thought we were the Insiders.
Yeah, no, we just like to pretend that.
We're the Outsiders,
yeah,
Dave.
Exactly, we're the Outsiders.
That makes more sense.
Eugene Melnyk's comments yesterday where the Senators and the Canadians are playing an outdoor game at TD Place Stadium today. It's a great celebration of Ottawa hockey history. They had the alumni game on Parliament Hill last night. And in the midst of all this, the owner comes out and says, yeah, I'd consider relocating the team because I'm not going to lose all my money, my hard-earned money, on a hockey team. Are the Senators just a tire fire right now on the ice and off the ice? How does the team bounce back from this where their owner is basically threatening the fan base?
What is Eugene Melnyk doing?
He's always been a bit of a wild card.
Why would you say that?
I guess you're trying to apply pressure to your fan base, or maybe you're trying to alienate your fan base. I know what they said in Calgary, but it wasn't the owners who said it in Calgary. Remember, it was Bettman. They flew Bettman in to pretty much be the owner's puppet to say that they needed a new arena. This is the owner himself saying, I'm not going to lose all my hard-earned fortune on this hockey team, and maybe I'm going to have to relocate the team because we're fighting tooth and nail to sell each and every ticket.
Yeah, but Drew, when you have an outdoor game this weekend, you're celebrating
100
years of NHL, you're celebrating hockey in Canada, the Senators are struggling on the ice. Why would you possibly bring this up now when you're having trouble selling tickets and you're having trouble keeping fans engaged? Like, to me, it's a slap in the face to all hockey fans in Ottawa.
Look, the location of the Senators Arena in Kanata is basically the same as where the Coyotes Arena is located in Glendale. The only difference is that Canadian hockey fans are willing to travel there. But I understand why Ottawa fans aren't as excited to go there 41 times a year. It's a pain in the ass to get to, and the owner should be doing everything in his power to make it more convenient and make it more of a destination for his fan base rather than trying to alienate his fan base. Meanwhile, in all of this, they're trying to build that new arena in downtown Ottawa. But right now, if you're a fan of the Ottawa Senators, why would you want to give your money to Eugene Melnyk?
It's a good question. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it's been a struggle to get this new arena going here. I know that it's nowhere nearer than it was maybe a year or two ago, but it just seems like Eugene Melnyk's attitude towards fans, in my opinion, needs some work. It's disrespectful, and especially when the team, you know, is struggling on the ice, you know, they can't put together a couple of wins in a row. And, you know, I just think for all of those people that spend their hard-earned money to go watch this team, you know, to come out and say that he's disappointed, you know, with attendance and all of that, that's one thing. But then to threaten, you know, the relocation of the team, to me, is just, it's unacceptable.
You know, James Gordon, who covers the Senators, said the national media is in town just begging to tell positive Ottawa Senator stories, and the owner sabotages his own brand again. He just can't help himself. And I think that sums it up. But I think, you know, from Eugene Melnyk's perspective, perhaps because there is national attention, he is trying to make a point. He's not happy with what's going on. And remember, we were interviewing, I don't remember who it was, and we were talking about how the prospects of moving the arena from where it is presently to downtown Ottawa, and why the process has been so quiet. And it's because they're trying to have government land and federal government
national
land.
National Capital Commission is who they have to work with. And
so
they
have to be very quiet about it. And I think perhaps this is his way of using a little bit of leverage. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, people may want to try and understand it. They may think it's the wrong move, but at the end of the day, he's the guy, he's the owner, he pays for this team, and it's his product to do with it as he sees fit. So maybe this is his way of leveraging this national media attention he's got right now into something with respect to the team in terms of its future in Ottawa. I mean, again, that's his prerogative as the owner. I just don't think it's good in from a feel-good perspective when you're trying to have good stories talk about your team.
The best-case scenario for the Ottawa Senators and their fan base is that Eugene Melnyk sells this team and takes his money that he's earned from the purchase and sale of this team and goes on his merry way. When we come back, we discuss the U of M Bison women's hockey team with Caitlin Fighton, the Bison women's hockey team captain. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for everyone. Saturdays are for the Curve on TSN 1290.
You're on the Curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve. You can also reach us in studio via text message. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program Caitlin Fighton. Caitlin is the U of M Bison's women's hockey team captain. The U of M Bison's women's hockey team is the number one ranked team in U Sports, which is the former CIS. Caitlin, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure, Caitlin. Before I get you talking about the Bison's women's hockey team program, do I understand that you have an exam coming up in an hour?
Yes, I do.
You are a trooper, Caitlin. We really appreciate you joining us on this Saturday morning in that case. As I mentioned off the start, the Bison women's, the number one ranked team in the country, for the first time in the program history, they're the number one ranked team in U Sports women's hockey. Just what does that accomplishment mean to you and to the rest of your teammates being the number one ranked team?
We're all very proud of it. Obviously, first time in history is a pretty big deal, and so we're all really happy that our hard work is paying off, but I also think we're very aware that, we're only halfway through the season, so there's still a lot of playing to be done.
Now, U of M has 14 fourth- and fifth-year players. Is there more pressure on this group to win this year than there was in previous years?
I don't think there's more pressure, but I do think that we're a little bit hungrier this year just because a lot of the veteran players have been to the CanWest Finals a couple times, and we've just been there this past 3 years, actually, and so I wouldn't say there's necessarily more pressure, but I think everyone wants it a little bit more this year.
Caitlin, this is your second year as team captain. What did you learn last year, your first year as team captain, that you've brought into this year, and that's helped you be the leader on this team?
I think I just try not to get wrapped up too much in being a leader necessarily, because we have a lot of great leaders, even people without letters. And so I just try to do the best that I can to help the team in any way possible to play our best.
Caitlin Fighton is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Caitlin is the captain of the U of M Bison women's hockey team, number one ranked team in the country. Caitlin, can you sort of, you're originally from Alberta, if I'm not mistaken. How is it that you got recruited to play here for the U of M Bisons? And, how has it been sort of becoming, an honorary Winnipegger in your 5 years here as a U of M player?
I am from Alberta. I played for the Edge School there. And I was actually down at a tournament in North Dakota when Coach John Rempel came and watched me play. And then he happened to come to Calgary and asked to have coffee with me, and that's where he made me an offer to come here. And I just chose to come here mostly because of John. He's a really good guy, really good coach, and I just got a good feel from him from the beginning. And it couldn't have worked out better. I've never been more proud to be a Bison, and I definitely would never regret coming here.
Caitlin, as Drew mentioned, you're writing exams right now. The team's on a holiday break for the rest of the month, returning with a two-game set against the University of Alberta, and that starts on January 5th. How do you stay fresh during the next couple of weeks? I know there's going to be, a lot of family dinners coming up, I imagine. But how do you make sure that you come back focused for the second half of the season?
We just keep ourselves accountable. It is holidays, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we quit working. We're still in the gym. We're still doing things to keep ourselves prepared. And so we just got to come back with the right mindset. And like I said, it's only halfway through the season, and so we still got a long way to go to reach our final goal here. And so I think we're all prepared for that and just doing every little thing that we can to keep us fresh.
Kaylin, forward Venla Hovi, I hope I got her name right, is a two-time Olympian from Finland. What have you learned from her as a player, and what kind of influence has she had on this group?
She's been a wonderful teammate and friend to me, too. And having her on the team has been unbelievable. I mean, obviously, she's an Olympic player, so she brings another level to our team, and she helps push us all. I mean, she goes hard in practice, which makes us work harder, and she's hard to compete against, and so she just does her job, and it makes the rest of us better, and so having her has been just awesome.
Caitlin Fighton is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Caitlin is the captain of the Bison Women's Hockey Team, number one ranked team in the country, the Bison Women are. Caitlin, you know, you look at the team, and there's nobody that I would describe as a dominant offensive force for the team. You know, Zacharias is leading the team. Jordan Zacharias, pardon me, is leading the team in points with 14 and 16 games. Is it sort of a offense by committee approach that the team has and that John Rempel sort of insists upon in the course of your game in, game out activities?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jordy has come up huge for us in a couple of games, but if you look at the rest of the standings, I think we have three or four forwards actually in the top five or six in the Western Conference. So, I mean, we have more scoring coming from just more than Jordy. So it's very uniform and everybody contributes, and that's just how we play.
You know, Caitlin, Drew just mentioned Bison's head coach, John Rempel, and he's been the head coach of the Bison's women's team for a long time, over a decade. What makes him such a good hockey coach?
He's very intense, which is I like personally, and he develops relationships with players, and it makes it very easy to communicate with them and know what he wants from you, and he knows how to get us girls ramped up and ready to go.
You know, Caitlin, what's the response been at the University of Manitoba to you guys having this much success?
Everybody has just been congratulating us, and everybody's very proud, and so it's been great.
Caitlin Fighton, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Caitlin, we know you have an exam coming up in about 45 minutes, so we'll let you go on this last question. Obviously, you know, the new year will bring sort of the second part to the season as it pertains to the Canada West action. You know, your chief competition, it seems like there's a lot of good teams in Canada West this year. UBC, Alberta, both of them are solid programs. What do you and your teammates have to do to stay atop Canada West and stay atop the U Sports ranking for the remainder of the season?
We just have to take it shift by shift. Like I said, we have a very veteran group, so we know what needs to be done. And just not looking too far ahead or looking at the standings or anything like that, but just making sure that we take care of the little things in every shift and every game.
Now, Caitlin, by the way, what exam do you have today? Is this a hard one, or is this going to be one that you're just going to, you know, breeze through?
It's a hard one.
Well, in that case, Caitlin, we'll let you get some last-minute cramming in if that's what it takes. We really appreciate your time this morning. Congratulations on all the success, and we'll keep a close eye on the Bison women's hockey team for the remainder of the season, and hopefully that we can have you on later on when the playoffs begin, and maybe even a U Sports championship can make its way here to Manitoba.
That sounds great. Thank you guys very much.
Take care, Caitlin. Caitlin Fighton, the Bison women's hockey team captain. Terrific performance so far by the Bison women, number one ranked team in the country. When we come back, we have a special guest joining us in studio, a good friend of ours, comedian Kevin Bozeman. He's joined us for the remainder of the show. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Quarter after the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN 1290. this segment of the show. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. If you're looking to give maybe a stocking stuffer or put the gift of comedy under somebody's Christmas tree or under somebody's Hanukkah menorah, Rumors gift cards are available, of course, at the club. And if you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, you can check them out, rumorscomedyclub.com. Our strong recommendation, though, would be over the next, you know, week or so to check out our good friend who joins us now in studio. Kevin Bozeman, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Fresh from Chicago. You guys might know that city. It's the team, it's the city that just crushed you guys a couple of nights ago. Remember? Blackhawks? Does that team sound familiar?
I think Jets fans have tried to block that out of their memories, but I follow Rumors on Instagram. I recommend that everybody follows Rumors on Instagram. And before that game started, Kevin, you filmed a little bit of a video, talking some trash about the Jets.
Here's the problem that I have, and this is just a fair, I think this is fair. It's going to be hard to beat a team where the best player on that team, you worship in the city.
That being Jonathan Toews.
Right. You have lakes named after him.
True.
Right? Schools.
Yeah. Community centers.
It's hard to beat a dude when he comes into town feeling like a god.
It's a reasonable point. I mean, I think Jets fans would counter that by saying, the Jets had some great success against the Blackhawks last year.
Right. Games that doesn't matter.
Well, last year the Jets didn't play any games that did matter because they didn't make the playoffs.
I think you guys don't deal with success well. As soon as you guys were like, oh, this is the best team in hockey, went on a West Coast swing, right, on the road and just...
Yeah, I had a little bit of struggles on the road, and then we went out east and had some more struggles.
Hockey is just uncomfortable how much I gamble on hockey all the time.
Oh, do you?
If Toronto Maple Leafs are 5.5 goals, I'm taking the over.
There you go. You know it.
If it's 5.5 goals, over every time. I don't know who they playing, but if it's the Maple Leafs, 5.5 goals, over, under, I'm going over. Every
Kevin,
time.
For in our defense, we didn't have Big Buff against the Chicago Blackhawks, obviously hoping that 2010 Stanley Cup run was going to, rub off a little bit on the Jets. So
yeah,
I think, if we had Big Buff in the lineup, and Enstrom as well is injured right now. But, Chicago, everyone is counting them out. And I remember we were doing our season preview show, and everyone's saying, if one team is going to drop out of the playoffs this year, without Marian Hossa in the lineup and everything. But
yeah,
I don't think you can count this team out because year after year, they're the class of the Central.
For sure. If they're the team, if they make it in, nobody wants to play them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they can lose to anyone, but no one is like, well, all right, let's get the Blackhawks the first round.
That's right.
Let's make this easy. Let's get the Blackhawks right away. So if they sneak in as an AC, but isn't this some crazy stat? Like, if you're the American Thanksgiving, if you're not in the playoffs by the American Thanksgiving, there's a really good chance you're not going to make the playoffs. Yeah.
That's the stat. You're right. That's sort of the benchmark. I think it's something like 75% of the teams.
And then the Blackhawks, of course, weren't scheduled to make the playoffs, but then ever since then, they just started winning. So
this has been a weird season, though. It feels like nothing is the standard. So I suspect that there will be a few more teams.
This is what whoever is the best team now is not going to win. I'm telling you, there's no way Tampa Bay wins.
Well, if that really?
That's a bold statement right there.
There's no way they win.
That's the Bozeman
lock.
They're
not going to even make it to the cup. They're at toast, I'm telling you.
How can people follow you on Twitter? You're on Twitter, right?
Kevin Bozeman, Twitter, Instagram, KB Standup. I also have a podcast which I talk sports called The Ball Hog.
We'll never be
on the show?
Hold on. We'll never be on, cuz.
I don't have guests.
He doesn't have guests.
I don't have guests, but I would make an exception for you guys. I've had like 3 guests in 3 years.
We would equal that if we had all three of us on.
You guys have to be counted as one.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I would only have one microphone and make you pass it to each other.
Just walking around from one side to side?
As one.
But Kevin, what's your Snapchat, Pinterest, and MySpace pages as well?
Hey, man, I do have a Pinterest. Let me tell you something. I am right now currently reinventing the fruitcake.
Reinventing really? The fruitcake.
Because, you know, fruitcake is awful. Fruitcake is what you do, is what you give to people when you don't like them, but you have to give them a gift.
We walked in and gave Drew two fruitcakes when we walked in the studio.
Yeah, that was very nice of them. Yeah.
And he was lucky to get that.
You don't eat the fruitcake. You save it to give to
somebody else you don't like.
Like regifting.
And it never gets old. You can put it in a garage. Rats won't touch it.
It's covered rats in rum. Like, isn't that it?
That's a fruitcake, man. What's wrong with you? We can't process that. So you just pass it around. So I've decided that the fruitcake needs to be reinvented. So I have been making cupcakes all week and forcing them on the staff, trying out my cupcakes. And they've been horrible so far. I've done a horrible job thus far, but I figured out what my problem is. So I go back to the lab, back to the comedy condo with my little oven. I don't have a whisk or anything. I'm beating cake batter with a fork like a maniac. Batter splat everywhere. It's horrible. But I figured out what the problem is. It needs alcohol.
Ooh, okay.
You are making a fruitcake without booze in it?
Well, buddy, I'm in Winnipeg. I just told you I had a fork.
I know where the condo is. You got a Liquor Mart right across the street.
Right. I'm taking fruit and mashing it. I'm gonna go fork like I'm in the 1820s. So it slipped my mind to put booze in it. But now I know I got to put some rum and some cinnamon in this fruitcake. And it's going to be dope. I'm telling you. I would love to share with you guys. Maybe me and Tyler will come through and drop some cupcakes off. You guys, I feel that this is going to put the fruitcake back on the map.
We definitely need some of that.
Yeah, I mean, really, you talk about pastry, we're all in immediately. So now you're talking about, you know, you're going through the process of experimenting with different kinds of pastry. Yeah. And like you're a lab rat of pastry, of fruitcake. It sounds like something we need to get involved
in. The old fruitcake is what you do, like you toss it in through people's windows through your professor's windows when they give you a bag. Great, right? Like the Caitlin, was that?
Yeah, Caitlin was on right before us.
If she fails her test, she's going to take that fruitcake and toss it through a professor's window. Like,
you're right, though.
That's the old fruitcake.
You might
it's
as well just take
thing.
your average fruitcake and use it on the ice as a puck. You know?
Yeah. Get some shots in. Get some shots in. I don't have a puck. That's all right. I got this fruitcake from 1977. There's only 1,000 fruitcakes on this planet. They've just all been regifted. It's a total of 1,000 fruitcakes on the planet, and they just keep getting passed around. With family. It's honestly a badge of honor to get a fruitcake.
Kevin Bozeman joins us in studio. Kevin's performing at Rumors Comedy Club tonight and then all next week as well, so you can check it out. Rumors
Second
Comedy
Residency.
2 weeks. I mean, that's rare. I mean, you know, for a comedian, most people listening, they might not know that. It's rare for a comedian to get a 2 week stint in one place.
It's rare for 2 weeks to be at a comedy club, and it's even more rare to do it. Like, I don't fly back till Christmas Eve. Do you know how much you have to hate your family to do that?
I mean, you're not.
Are you aware? And then also, you have to think about the other side. How much your family hates you if they're cool with that.
They're like, sure, go ahead.
You're leaving, right? You're going, right?
You're going to Winnipeg for 2 weeks? Sure. You have a great time.
The family didn't want to join you up here for a couple weeks?
No, they did not. And I guarantee you next year they're going to be like, you're going again, right? You're going again for 2 weeks, right? You can go somewhere. Go somewhere. That's cool.
It could be worse. You could be in like Regina or something, you know, a couple hours west of us, a little bit of a smaller town.
I would think I don't want to go north, right?
North would be a little bit cooler. I mean,
well, I don't know. Yeah. Churchill's kind of an interesting place.
I don't know what the comedy scene's like up in Churchill.
It's pretty beautiful up there, though. You can see
Northern
polar
Lights.
Bears and,
that's
whales.
That's on my bucket list. No, I'm missing my kids' basketball games.
Oh,
that's tough. That's pretty tough because my kids, my one son, I nicknamed Meal Ticket because he's pretty good. Like, I feel like he's going to make my life easier.
You think he's just – you're already spending the money that he's going to make for you?
No, I'm not saying he's going to make money. I think he's got a chance to get – I only want them to get scholarships.
Sure,
college scholarships. I have no dreams of them playing professional. I just want their college to be paid.
So how old are they right now? Are they just kind of starting basketball?
15, or? 13.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's when it gets competitive, right?
They're getting it. They're getting it in. Yeah, my one son was teammates with – Fred Hoiberg, who's the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, his kids. He played AAU with his kids. And then my other son is in the seventh grade. The team is undefeated. So, yeah, baby.
Not so bad there. You
can... What am I doing? Talking to my bull.
By the way, Kevin, I think we talked about this a little bit when we had you on last year, but you know, Drew was somewhat of a prodigy on the local Jewish basketball scene.
No, we did not talk about that.
Which part do you not believe? That I was a prodigy or that there was a local Jewish basketball scene?
I believe that you were not a prodigy. $800 yeah. And put all my money.
Bing, 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 bing.
That's true.
I believe that you were the best on the team, but I don't think that makes you a prodigy.
It's this right? Is the tallest
midget. How many average?
No, I wasn't even an average basketball player. That's the one sport.
How many points did you average?
Oh, I never actually played. Ezzy's just making this up entirely.
That's hilarious.
Kevin, he was a chucker.
He's a chucker? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like those chuckers.
I'm actually the inspiration for White Man Can't Jump, because I literally can't jump. Just, you know, right flat on the ground.
I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but who in this room is white can jump?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So you're
Rory.
You're saying you have the.
Yeah, I'm going to say. I bet you Rory's got some.
I would suggest his vertical is the worst of the team.
I actually don't have a vertical. I just have a horizontal. It's a horizontal. Is what it is. Yeah.
Just
fall right flat on my face. Dave, did you play some basketball? I thought you used to play some pickup every now and then.
No.
What's the basketball scene like out here?
It's growing.
In the summer, do you walk around and just see people hooping in the parks?
Well, we used to have the Winnipeg Cyclone and the Winnipeg Thunder pro basketball teams.
Not pro. Like it was
semi. Yeah. Daryl Dawkins played for the Cyclone.
Ooh.
Yeah, going back.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Chocolate Thunder?
Exactly.
Yeah. He had to be in the chocolates of Thunders out here. He was dark chocolate Thunder out here. He was milk chocolate in Philadelphia, but he was special dark, 80% cocoa bean. Put your hands together for the 96% chocolate, Daryl Dawkins.
My understanding is, from I've got some friends who've got kids playing basketball nowadays, it's a growing basketball scene, but it's never anything to write home about. Todd McCulloch played for the
McCulloch.
Yeah,
for the 76ers.
Get his name right, Drew.
Yeah. Played for the 76ers.
Maybe Todd McCulloch saw Daryl Dawkins and was inspired.
It could be.
Could have been. And then he became a pinball wizard.
Yes, yeah. He's actually a world champion pinball player now.
So yeah, that's what he does now. Yeah.
Remember, he had to retire early. He had problems with his feet.
Yeah, plantar fasciitis, I believe.
And then, and now he's killing it in pinball. Yeah. What's the payout?
I don't think it matters because he signed that like
it's all in quarters.
He signed that's all quarters. Kevin, it didn't matter. He signed like a 20 or 30. He signed like a $20 or $30 million deal. So
he's got a whole bunch of stuffed animals in his trophy room. A
lot of Chuck E. Cheese tokens just sitting there waiting to get back to you.
Pizza.
That's right, David Busters.
Yeah, so I think I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about pinball and basketball and Todd McCulloch.
Drew, stay on topic here.
Oh, so this is what I was going to say about like the difficulty of growing up, like especially if you don't have money. It's like, you know, hockey costs loot, right? With basketball, you just need a ball and just one other person, and you can play basketball. Right. With hockey, it's got some price.
Hockey sticks are $300.
In Chicago, that's they're in hockey leagues, and they're just always having raffles and fundraisers, always trying to raise money to have to play hockey. That's why basketball will always be relevant, because it's easy to play. Same like soccer,
exactly.
You just need a field and a ball, and that's why those sports will. Even though soccer is. My son also plays soccer, and
doesn't do it for you?
Oh, I tell him that I hate it. I let him know. I'm like, you better give me 4 goals, or else you're not going to eat.
You know
how hard it is to get 4 goals? Not as hard as it is to watch this. Give me some goals. I drank 4 Red Bulls. Yeah. I wouldn't fall asleep standing up. Give me some goals.
That's just good parenting right there.
Yeah.
You know, you're supportive in your own special way. But then, you know, we talk about it all the time on the show about the cost associated with hockey and how it's prohibitive for a lot of families, you know, everywhere that, you know, the kids see their superstar, you know, the players in the NHL playing with these sticks that cost $250, $300, and they break it, you know, like a twig. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine showing out that kind of cash and then having your the kids stick break?
I can't imagine it. Actually, I can't imagine that.
Because you wouldn't do it.
I would just I'd be angry.
You'd get out the duct tape. You'd be like, we're using this thing again.
Duct tape is... Yeah, right? Isn't that what people do out here?
Yeah.
A little Gorilla Glue.
Yeah, good. Just tape it back together. It'll work just the same.
It's different. Like in Chicago, there's some places where, because some of the violence is so bad, that people just don't let their kids even go out.
That's terrible.
Like they just have to stay in, and they just sit there and just turn into fat pieces of crap because they don't, because their parents won't let them out.
Right, it's too dangerous.
It's
too dangerous. It's not everywhere, but there's just some blocks where just people just don't let their kids out. But it's crazy. But, you know, you guys got a little money problem with hockey. So, well, woe is me. I believe
it's called a...
Kevin, I think that's your white... Well, that was your white privilege bit you did on Wednesday, I think.
What's that?
I think that's part of the white privilege thing you're talking about on Wednesday. Thing,
yeah. Yeah, that's hilarious, dude. White privilege is fun. I think it's great. Like, it's just... People always try to describe what... white privilege is and what isn't. I don't even like to call it white privilege because I think it is insulting to white people that had to really struggle to get to where they're at, and then you tell them that they're privileged. But it does exist. But I prefer to call it things black people can't do. So it's not calling it white privilege. It's just things black people can't do. Oh, you talking back to a cop? You know you can't do that, man. What's wrong with you?
Hold it right.
Why you try to golf? You can't do that.
Hey, Tiger,
not
come on.
South. That's your Tiger.
Right, the one dude. We say one dude. You see the problem with that? You black people can't golf. Tiger Woods. Who else? Tiger Woods.
Kevin, hold it there. Stay in studio. Join us. We got Joshua Clipperton of the Canadian Press coming up next. More with Kevin Bozeman after that. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Bottom of the hour, Saturday morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and comedian Kevin Bozeman in studio with you from TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website. It's got the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio. That's IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Canadian Press, he's based out of Vancouver, Josh Clipperton joins us on the program. Josh, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Josh. I brought you on to sort of have a look-see around the NHL as we sit here on December 16th. Happy holidays to you and yours, Josh, of course. You know, I want to start with a team you see a lot. You're based out of Vancouver. It's the Los Angeles Kings. They just continue to, you know, churn as if they haven't skipped a beat there in the Pacific Division. 43 points now atop the division, one ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. Are they still the surprise of the NHL to you this season?
Well, you know, they're definitely one of the surprises. I think that people forget that, last year Jonathan Quick was injured for, 58 or 59 of their games. Anze Kopitar had a real poor year for the Kings, and you know, they still have a good roster of players. You know, I mean, they've quietly, in a way, excelled this season because so many people are looking at the Golden Knights with the way that they've sort of come out of the gate. But I'd say that the Kings are one of the surprises, and they're all things being equal for a recent Stanley Cup champion, they've sort of flown under the radar. But yes, they've been impressive for sure.
Josh, there's an outdoor game today in Ottawa between the Senators and the Montreal Canadiens, but it doesn't seem like the majority of Canadiens really care. Why is that?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think that these games have definitely been played a lot. I was on radio here in Vancouver yesterday, and we were talking about how the NHL should just start numbering them like UFC games, because there's been so many of them. It's a Winter Classic number, 158 or whatever. I mean, I think that even if the fans across the country don't pay as close attention as maybe they did, you know, with the game in Edmonton and the game in Calgary, and then obviously the one that started all in Buffalo. I think locally it's still a big deal. I mean, now, obviously, there's lots of turmoil in Ottawa right now, so for them it's probably not the best situation to have the eyes of the hockey world on their situation. But I know that I'm originally from Ottawa, and I know definitely that there's people, the fans are excited. I mean, there's going to be a packed house. And hopefully they can enjoy the after, or I guess the evening in the cold there for what's been a pretty forgettable season for them so far.
You know, Josh, I was going to ask you about Brock Besser. Now I kind of want to ask you about your disdain for the Wave, which I can see based on your tweeting, because I also am not a fan of the Wave. But I will ask you about Brock Besser. You know, he's a player we had the fortune of watching if you went down to UND to see him play. And, you know, he's just such a special player. How good has he been for Vancouver this season?
Oh, he's been their best player, like hands down. There's no doubt. And I think he is their best player, period, right now. What's been so impressive with him, and we hear about his shot and, you know, how, you know, he's got 17 goals, scored again last night, obviously, leading the rookie scoring race and goal race. But for me, it's to see a guy who, you know, granted is an average skater at best, you know, get to the places he needs to get to, how he gets there is really impressive. He sees the game on a different level than most other players. He's just in the right spot, you know, at both ends of the ice. I mean, it's not just the offense. There's a couple times where he's just made the incredible defensive plays that don't get the same coverage, and you're just like, wow, like that was a great play by Chris Tanev or whoever. And like, no, that was Brock Besser on the back check. So, like, I mean, his game is really a complete one right now, which is really impressive for a 20-year-old. I'd say that like there's so much room for him to grow, and in a season where the Canucks have obviously stumbled recently, he's definitely the bright spot, and you know, and the poster boy. I mean, you see Besser jerseys everywhere now. I was walking through the arena, and there was 100 of them, you know, on the rack before last night's game. So he's definitely the talk of the town out here.
Josh Clipperton of the Canadian Press joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for a look around the NHL. Josh, you mentioned you're from Ottawa originally, and we know all the talk in Ottawa is about Eugene Melnyk and his comments yesterday, not pouring water on the idea that the Senators might have to relocate or that he'd be interested in relocating the team. Is it time for Eugene Melnyk to seriously consider selling the Ottawa Senators?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans would want that. I mean, I was the one who sort of was talking to Kyle Turris on Wednesday with the quotes that he had about Melnyk being the reason he's no longer in Ottawa, and that sort of sent shockwaves through the hockey world back east. I know anecdotally there's a lot of people in Ottawa that are just sick of Melnyk's act. They're tired of sort of the things that he says and his outbursts, and it often from afar it just seems like really petty how he, you know, talks down to his players, you know, badmouths the market. I don't know what the NHL can do, because I don't think you can force a guy to sell, but you know, there's the arena question, who's going to pay for it. There's lots of things that are going wrong. But yeah, no, I think a lot of fans would be pleased to see him move on. But at the same time, I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy that saved the team out of bankruptcy back in 2003. So the fan base there definitely, you know, we'll never forget that. But at this point, I think that not many people would be sad to see him go.
Josh, you were at the NHL Board of Governors meetings last week in Florida, and you wrote about Seattle expansion in your piece for the Canadian Press and the possibility of Seattle expansion, I should say. Is it looking like this is a foregone conclusion that Seattle's going to get a team 2 or 3 years from now? And do you think it's possible that there might be another expansion team, whether that's in Houston or Quebec, a little bit farther down the road?
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think that the Seattle, you mean, it's obviously things can change, but it seems like a foregone conclusion, like you said. I mean, $650 million with the guys that they have lined up with the arena development, the old Key Arena, $660 million development, $650 million, you know, expansion fee, which should be noted is $150 million more than Vegas paid. So that's worked out to about $20 million per owner for the Seattle team, you know, dispersed across the league. So I do think it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. It'll bring balance to the schedule and, you know, create a rivalry out here for Vancouver, which has never really had a regional rivalry, like, you know, the Oilers and the Flames, or the Sens and the Leafs and the Habs. So it'll be good for the Vancouver market. I know the Canucks are pretty encouraged, and they're on board with it. In terms of expanding further, I know people in Canada were disappointed about, you know, that this is only open to Seattle, and, you know, Quebec City might not get a team. You know, they're not going to get a team in the near future. But Bill Daly said that, you know, conference balance, like I mentioned, that Quebec was never going to get this 32nd team. That doesn't close the door on them. You know, if the league expands to 34 teams, it's possible. But I still think that, I mean, the prices are going so high. I mean, like $650 million U.S. is now you're approaching 800, you know, more than 800 million Canadian. Like, do the Quebec owners have the pockets that are deep enough for that? That's why the Vegas expansion was probably, you know, at least in the short term, like at that time was probably their best chance to get a team in Quebec in the near future.
You know, Josh, you just saw the Predators come through town the other day. Is there a better team in the West right now than the Nashville Predators?
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen a better team, to be honest. Like there was some stuff on that in that game on Wednesday that was pretty remarkable. Now, in fairness, the Canucks completely capitulated in the second you know half of the third period. There, it was hard to watch from a Canucks perspective. But you look how deep the Predators are down the middle. You know, you look at their blue line. We all know the names there. And then, you know, Pekka Rinne's having a real bounce back season. A colleague of mine was talking to Rinne after the game, and apparently he's like totally redone his style, which is crazy for a 35-year-old goalie coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance to change things up. But it's worked for him. He's been lights out this year. Laviolette has those guys humming, and you know, Nashville seems like a really, you know, a great environment right now. Just a fun locker room to be in when we were in there, and you know, it's becoming one of the cooler hockey markets, and one that I definitely want to get down to myself to see a game after last year's playoff run.
So, Josh, what created more buzz in the arena? Was it PK Subban's goal from center ice, or was it the kid who won the car and completely seemed nonchalant about winning a car when he shot that puck during the intermission?
It was crazy, wasn't it? The intermission guy, for sure. And the building was only half full because it was at the intermission, but the biggest cheer for sure was that one. It was I had my head down, you know, lots of reporters, it's when we work in the intermission, I had my head down typing away, and I couldn't figure out what was going on until I saw the replay. And then, you know, the guy was, like you said, it had ice water in his veins. I don't know if he was shell-shocked or what. It was crazy. But that goal from center ice, obviously, like, that is just a horrible thing to happen for any goalie at any level, especially with a goal-starved team like the Canucks. But, you know, they rebounded strong last night. I mean, the Sharks were playing back-to-back, but, you know, the Canucks came out hard, and they needed a response, and that was, you know, a pretty impressive performance for a team that really needed something good to happen.
The ghost of Dan Kluche struck Anders Nilsson on that goal from Subban on, I guess that was, what, Wednesday night or Thursday night at
Wednesday,
this point?
Yeah.
Wednesday night. Josh, Josh Clipperton is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Josh is with the Canadian Press. Josh, you know, flipping your attention to the East, do you see anybody besides the Tampa Bay Lightning are they the absolute cream of the crop? We know they're running away with the conference, but do you see any flaws in them? We talked about Nashville, how they've been a well-oiled machine, but do you see Tampa as the Nashville of the East in that regard?
Yeah, they're definitely, you know, in a different level in the East for sure right now. I mean, it's a long season, and we know that, you know, things can change quick, but I some of their forwards are, it's really impressive. I mean, like, you know, no one knew who Nemestikov and Kucherov were a couple of years ago, and now those guys, you know, drive it for them, and we know they have Stamkos, and, you know, I think there were some questions about Vasilevskiy, you know, just not knowing, you know, but if he could handle the workload, and he really has. So, you know, they're definitely the cream of the crop, but I always look at that Metropolitan Division as so tough, and like whoever comes out of that will be a, you know, a hardened team, and you know they probably won't get the first seat in the conference, but you know, you look at the Pittsburghs, the Columbuses, the, you know, Devils have impressed this year. You know, the Capitals obviously are always hanging around. I mean, there's been some changes on that, some pretty big changes on that roster, but you know, that Metropolitan Division, I wouldn't count any of those teams out once they get in the playoffs, just because of, you know, how tough that division is. Much like the Central Division with the Jets, you know, that's a, you know, it's tied neck and neck between the Metropolitan and the Central for which division is the toughest. So any of those teams, you know, can make noise once they, you know, they get the playoffs come spring.
Josh Clipperton covers the NHL for the Canadian Press. Josh, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Happy holidays. Cheers.
To you too, Josh. Take care. When we come back, we got one final segment. Kevin Bozeman's going to join us here in studio. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
One final segment this Saturday morning. We welcome you back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The Jets and the Blues, 6 p.m. puck drop tonight. We've got Hustler and Rick. They're going to start it off at 3 o'clock, and then Kevin O in the pregame show at 5 p.m. So keep it tuned here to TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and comedian Kevin Bozeman.
So this will be 3 games in 4 nights for Winnipeg?
It will be tomorrow? Yes, yeah. Tomorrow.
And tomorrow's an mid-afternoon game?
5 o'clock, I think,
See,
tomorrow.
Now, as a handicapper, that stuff, that's important information. You just played the Blackhawks. Now you got to turn around. A tough game against the Blues, and then you bounce back on Sunday, and who do you play?
The Blues again. It's a home and home.
The Blues, a home and home.
Yeah.
There goes your handicapping theory right out the window right there.
But still, did the Blues play two nights ago?
They would have played Thursday, I believe. They lost to Anaheim on Thursday. Yeah. So it's 3 and 4 nights for both teams.
So here's a question for people and your listeners. I don't know if you guys do call-ins or whatever, but here's a question.
Or have listeners.
I like to be optimistic.
Yes.
I like to be optimistic.
They actually cut our mics hours ago.
Yeah, we're actually on air.
Yeah.
After 3 games, is it after a team gets tired, what's going to suffer more, their defense or their offense?
I think defense, because it's the attention to detail that you're going to lose a little bit if you're mentally fatigued.
So game 3 and 4 nights, you're more likely to take the over. I'm asking for a friend.
As long as that friend isn't culpable for whatever, if they give you a wrong answer.
I'm just asking for a friend. Also, this is just showing up.
Curling?
I have to go curling before I leave.
Drew's
Winnipeg.
A curler.
Drew
is a curler.
Yes, it's true. My wife and I used to be a part of a curling league on Friday nights. Not so much now that we've had our second kid, but I'm sure we can get you on the ice to curl.
Yeah, here's the thing. I can't skate it all. Is that going
to
be
no, you don't have to.
No, you don't have to skate. You wear runners.
Kevin, you basically just glide.
Yeah.
You just glide.
So yeah. You can wear runners, and the only time you have to wear a slider is when you're actually throwing the rock. So as long as when you're sweeping, you can just sweep in your runners and you're fine.
See, this feels like my last chance to be an Olympian.
You think you can? You know, there's mixed doubles curling now.
I know, I can't make it, but
there's an opportunity.
That would
be
it.
Like, this is my only. Like, I'm not. They're not going to call me to be on the basketball team for the Olympics.
They might call your kid though. Apparently,
no, not my kid's got small D1 skills in him. He doesn't have Olympic type skills. Anyway,
well, Kevin, with a coach,
I want to curl.
With you a coach a like Drew, he'll get you there.
You can make that.
Yeah. I'll propel your kid to the heights he's never seen.
I would love to have him to hang out with the prodigy.
Yeah.
The prodigy. Yeah.
The prodigy can't dribble with his left hand, but aside from that, he's an expert basketball
player.
You gotta
chuck it up, son. But you gotta chuck it up.
Drew's got a killer crossover.
Curling, we could, you know, it could get out to the curling rink.
So Monday I have nothing going on at all. Monday, I looked at one thing, and it was just, they run it like business hours. It's closed on Saturday, Sunday, and then it's only open from 9 to 5.
No.
I looked up curling spots. It was one right next to something daughter, whiskey daughter.
Morning. Handsome daughter?
Handsome daughter. Handsome daughter, whiskey daughter, same thing. Potato, potato.
I'm sure that
one. And there was a place right there, and I looked it up. They told me about it, and the hours were like, wait, what's going on? Why would they be closed on the weekend and then only open from? Anyway.
I'm sure that one of the staff members of Rumors could hook you up with a curling league, or at least a trip on the ice.
Not a league.
He wants to play a game. You throw a few rocks.
Kevin,
that's what I'm saying.
I think Drew's got to take the day off work Monday.
Yeah.
And he's got to take you and spend a couple of hours.
Let me call in for you.
Okay.
He's just not. We don't think he's going to make it.
If he does make it, he'll be back Tuesday.
It's touch and go, but
he's got curling with his black friend Itis. it's a rare case.
Yeah, really rare. It's like rare, once a year.
Really
it's
rare. Yeah, really rare. Once every 18 months.
Yeah, it's touch and go, but he might be able to make it.
Yeah, I want to experience all things like I've had nonstop poutine.
What about ice fishing? You want to go ice fishing?
The ice isn't good yet. Ice isn't good yet anyways.
You don't know how to ice fish. You barely know how to curl.
I don't know how to.
Stick to basketball.
You guys are the ice fishing guy. You'd be the fisherman in this one there.
I don't think I brought warm enough clothes to bear that. And that would be obnoxious.
No, you're in like a little hut. It's all warm.
Is it?
Yeah, you're in a warm hut. Sometimes. Really? Yeah.
Oh, what kind of fish
should see. There's some serious huts.
What kind of fish do you catch?
Well, we call them here, we call them walleye. Sorry, or pickerel.
Okay.
Yeah. You would call them walleye sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, no to that. No to that. But I want to curl. What else would I? What else?
What's on your bucket list?
I think we should go bowling because you can drink a lot.
Yeah, but bowling is that.
Bowling's different here. No, bowling's five pin.
Yeah, it's
here.
Only five pin.
No, you can.
You have 10.
Yeah.
Five pins?
Yeah, the ball is smaller.
Yeah, you're hucking the ball.
The ball is, you know.
So there's no three holes?
No.
It's literally you palm it.
You put it in your palm.
Yeah. You have small balls in Canada. Yeah.
Oh, we got to do that. We got to do five. Let's just make a day of it and just continue.
So Monday.
Drink, we get Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
We start.
Which we call Caesars.
I had one at Stella's. It was amazing. Okay. Bacon. That's the only problem that I have about Winnipeg. It's when you guys, all the stuff that you're good at, you try to put it all in one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Why is you? Okay, I get it. It's a Caesar. Do you got to put your bacon and your maple syrup in it? Like, okay, I get it.
Wait till
and
I hang on.
Are there moose droppings too? why? Just give me.
I'm going to blow your mind right now. The best Caesars generally are found at the curling clubs.
Okay. All right. Of course, because that's what you guys do.
There's something
you
called
put everything. This is exactly my point.
You just made his point.
Right. I know.
You're going to have your best things all together.
There's something called the MCA Bonspiel, which is a big province-wide curling tournament. 500 and some odd teams are in it.
Drew won it in the 1970s.
And all the curling clubs get together and they compete against each other, the bartenders, to make the most outlandish or the best Caesar to go along with the curling. And everything. So this is, you know, we are bringing everything together.
I'm in.
And this year's top entry, they actually put the poutine right into the Caesar.
Yeah, right. Is that gravy? A cheese curd? It's perfect. So I'm going to do all things Winnipeg, and then to bring myself to my natural habitat, I'm going to finish off on Monday Night Football.
There you go.
There you go.
Right.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's a great.
We're up against the time wise. I was going to ask you. What about your kids playing football? Was that ever? Did your kids play football?
No, my kid can't even take it when I punched him in the rib. There's no way.
That was your test. You're like, come here, kid. Boom. All right, you're done.
I told you. Stop changing the channel. They can't play football. They can't take a punch.
There you go.
Amazing.
Comedian Kevin Bozeman joins us in studio here. And that's it for the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's been a lot of fun. A tweet just came in. Check out the Granite Curling Club. Lots of open sheets on Monday, Kevin. You can go curling on Monday.
I don't know what
Granite
open sheets mean, but that sounds somewhat friendly.
I used to curl
or
Granite.
A starter kit for a Klan rally. I don't know.
Big thank you to all our sponsors.
I don't know. I'll take it.
Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty in Keenan, Jersey. Support them because they support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Legal Curve. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Bozeman. Facebook.com and our website, of course, is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Rory, for comedian Kevin Bozeman, for Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Saturdays are for the Curve. We're live on TSN 1290.
As long as you stick together as a team, we'll be all right.